Hallelujah. I believe God. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's open our Bibles, and we're speaking on the subject of speaking in tongues or speaking in other tongues. We're talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But before we do that, let's just open our Bibles to John 3:16, and let's read that together, verses 16, 17, and 18. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Well, let's start to read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, I heard someone say about Brother Hagin, he would go over and over and over and over, and some folks would say, when the heck is he going to get off of these scriptures? But he had a purpose in it. Number one, he was led by the Holy Ghost, but two, he knew that faith comes by hearing. And faith in a particular area will cause you to be positioned to move to the next level of hearing. Because some of us can't receive until we hear and receive what we're hearing. I'm going to read Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. I like the Holman Christian. It says, the revelation of your words brings light. And the Amplified says, the entrance and unfolding of your words give light. So, we thank God that the more we hear the word, faith comes, light comes. Well, we're going to jump this evening and pick up from Sunday, kind of hook up on from Sunday, where we were talking about the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And we looked at five particular instances in the book of Acts, starting with Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And we looked at that particular initial outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And in verse 4 it says, and they were all filled when they were assembled in one place in one accord. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so that was the initial outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Our point was, these are the instances in the book of Acts that show us what the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost is. Now, I will also share, and you can get this book in the bookstore. We have it in the Faithful Bookstore. This book that I've been reading and going through is called Tongues, the Beyond the Upper Room. This is one by Kenneth E. Hagin. You can get it. There are plenty of them in the bookstore. And if you so choose, it's a great study reference. It'll go through literally everything. We may not cover it in these classes, but I can tell you it's a great reference book. You can download it. If you like ebooks, it's $9.99. If you buy it, I don't know what the price is in the bookstore, but it's a great reference. Also, we looked at Acts chapter 8, where Philip preached to the Samaritans, and he preached Christ. They received Christ, and they were baptized. And when that was heard in Jerusalem, they sent Peter and John down to Samaria. And they, what did they do? They laid hands upon them to receive the Holy Ghost. And it says they received the Holy Ghost. And It does not say in this particular passage that they spoke in other tongues, but we went through that Sunday. You can continue reading. You can read in verse 13 about Simon the sorcerer. So Simon must have seen something because he said, hey, I want that. I'll pay money for that. And you can see. So he saw something. Must have been other tongues. Amen. And we also know about Saul of Tarsus. We read about that, Cornelius and his household in Acts chapter 10. And also the disciples where Paul went up through of Ephesus and he also said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we haven't even heard that there be such a thing as the Holy Ghost. This is about 20 years after the day of Pentecost. So a couple of other things we didn't touch on Sunday is, and this is in some churches, some folks say you have to tarry for the Holy Ghost. Well, do you have to tarry for the Holy Ghost? Well, I know you all know that, but let's get the scriptures view on it. If you look at those five instances in the Bible that we just talked about, we looked at Acts chapter 2, we looked at Acts chapter 8, we looked at Acts chapter 9 with Saul, we looked at Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius, we looked at Acts chapter 19. When we look at those instances where we're talking about receiving the infilling of the Holy Ghost, only one place did they tarry. Which was where? On the day of Pentecost. But the Lord said, go ye there and stay there until you receive power. But is there any instance where they had to tarry after that? No, because the Holy Ghost had already come. He was already here. So there was no need. And you can go through, and when you read these various accounts, starting in chapter 8, it says, when Peter and John prayed for them that they might receive, they received. They never said, oh, you got to tarry. There's no instance in the Bible. Same thing with Saul. When Ananias laid hands on him, he didn't say, well, brother Saul, you're going to have to tarry. He didn't say that. So the Holy Ghost is here. All you need to do is receive this free gift by faith, if you're born again. So we can see that, and we just make mention of that. You can go through and look at that. We also shared on Sunday the effects of being filled with the Holy Ghost, and you can see in Acts 4, it says where they had been preaching, and they were whipped, and they were put in jail, and they couldn't find anything wrong with them. So what'd they do? They threatened them. And what'd they do? They went back to their own company, and being let go, they reported to all the chief priests and elders, and they lifted up their voice in one accord, and they shouted, Hallelujah. And so what did they do? They just said, Lord, you see this, and grant unto thy servants. What do you say here? It says, grant unto thy servants that with all, grant, it says, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. So this is an effect of being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I would say this, that, and we'll jump in here. Why don't we turn over to Acts chapter 1, and let's take a look at this. Tonight we're going to just touch on the value of speaking with other tongues. There's a value to it. And the Bible will tell you. So when you look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power after, not before, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. And this word power, you know, you're familiar with. The word is dunamis. And it just means power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. It's inherent power. It says, or which a person or thing exerts or puts forth. Power for performing miracles. So this power that comes upon us is not just for us. It's for who these rivers of living water that flow out of us, it's for others. Now we benefit, but it's primarily for others. And I would say this, that sometimes folks say, well, I don't feel any different after I got the Holy Ghost and were filled with the Holy Ghost than before. Has anybody ever experienced that? Yeah. Or did you know you got something when you got filled? Yeah. Well, there's some that say, I don't feel any different. You know, when I read this book, that's what Brother Hagin said. He said when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, I don't feel any different before I got it than after I got it. He said, but because the Bible said I received it, then I believe it. Read the book. It's a good book. Because sometimes, you know, you might be sitting here saying, well, I didn't experience that. I didn't feel any different. That's what Brother Hagin said. He said, I didn't feel different. But he said, I began to preach, and he said, I decided, and he said he was teaching and preaching in a church where they didn't look too kindly on being filled with the Holy Ghost. He was the pastor. And so he said some people, this was a community church where people from various denominations, they were out in the country, so they couldn't go to a Pentecostal church, they'd come to his church. And they didn't speak with other tongues. They didn't look too kindly on it. But he got filled. And he said, I don't feel any different. So he said, some of their members said, well, you know, some people who were Pentecostal started coming into their church. And they said, well, if we ever speak in tongues here, I'm pulling my family out. And so Brother Hagin said, I'm not going to say anything. Until it's evident. Because he said, I don't see anything. So he said, until it's evident, I'm not going to say anything to anybody. And he started to preach. And he said, one person said, who went away for, you can read the story, it said he went away for 3 months, came back, and he said, something different about him. And Brother Hagin said, I don't see anything different about me. And this person said, there's something different about his preaching. And so he said it wasn't evident to him, but it was evident to who? The people. So he said it's not, he came to realize, and then he finally, as they say, spilled the beans. And he said pretty much everybody got filled with the Holy Ghost in that church. But he said it came to realize it wasn't for me. It was for the people. And so it wasn't evident to me that I had changed. See, so sometimes you might be saying, well, I don't see anything different. But it's not going to be evident to you, but it'll be evident to somebody else, you see. So, and also, I would say this, that being filled with the Holy Ghost, getting filled wasn't just for an emotional experience. And so sometimes people want to hoot and holler and all of that, and that's fine. But it's not for an emotional experience. We didn't receive the Holy Ghost for an emotional experience. Now, we can get emotional in a setting, but it's for power. And that power, in other words, this person who shared with Brother Hagin in his book said, there's something different about his words that he speaks. They have impact when he speaks. And he said, I wasn't speaking any different. But the words that I was speaking were being impacted by the Holy Ghost's power. So the same words he spoke before he got filled with the Holy Ghost impacted the people one way, and after he got filled, they impacted them another way. And it wasn't emotional. Is that understood? So I think sometimes we need to look at the Bible and look at, you know, what other men and women have experienced. I'm not saying that sometimes we think we have to swing from the chandeliers and there has to be some Pentecostal something that says, oh yeah, they're filled with the Holy Ghost. But you can take this little person over here that'll get up and say something that has power with it, and they weren't jumping up and down. Does that make sense? So I think we can get in our thinking, we can think a certain way, and it's not scriptural, you see. So let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 14. So there's going to be some evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we know when we talked about it on Sunday, that one of the things is in John chapter 7, it says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So when we go over to 1 Corinthians 14, we're going to look at what value Paul put on speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let's look at verse 18. Chapter 14 and look at verse 18. It says, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. But let's go to verse 19. Yet in the church, or we could say in a public setting, a public meeting, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So somebody might get up and say, well, you see right there, Paul's saying it's better to speak in English. No, you didn't say that. And see, some people will twist scripture. He's saying, I speak more in tongues than you all privately. But in a public setting, it's better to be understood so people can be edified. You see, in English. So he wasn't telling. So now let's continue. Look at verse 22. It says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that they are mad? But if you all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Now let's jump down. Let's see. Well, I'll continue. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto what? Edifying. Verse 27. If any man speak in what? An unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at most by three, and that by course let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, see, if there's no interpreter, what does that mean? It says, muzzle it. Be quiet. Let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So Paul wasn't telling the Corinthians that speaking in tongues was wrong, nor was he forbidding them to speak in tongues. They just needed the right order. They were out of order. They needed order. And he was telling these believers that in a church service, everything should be done to edifying or build up those that hear. You see. So if you can't understand something, how are you edified? How are you built up in a church service? You see. But you can be edified when you pray in the Holy Ghost. Your spirit prayeth, and you're speaking unto God. See? So tongues is primarily for our own personal spiritual edification. That's what tongues is for. It's primarily for your own spiritual edification. It's for private devotion and prayer and pray and prayer and fellowship with God. Now let's jump back to verse 4 in the same chapter. It says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue does what? Edifieth yourself, edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth, what do? They edify the church." So when you look up that word edifieth, it means to erect a building, to build a house, to rebuild or repair. So you're building up, you're edifying, you're building up yourself here. "And he that prophesieth edifieth the church," or buildeth up the church. The New Living Translation says, "A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally." So I like the way that says that. This is the New Living Translation. It says, "A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally." The God's Word Translation says, "When a person speaks in another language, he helps himself grow." See, you're built up, you're edified. And when you pray in English, you're limited. You can pray, you can pour out your heart to God, you're limited. But when you pray in the Spirit, your spirit prayeth, and you're communicating with God, and you're not limited. Your understanding is limited. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Now, let's look at back up to verse 2 in that. It says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto God, not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit," see this word, "in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." In the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So when we speak in an unknown tongue, we are not talking to men, but unto God. We're talking to Him. And we're edifying ourselves. So God has given us a divine means by which we can speak to Him supernaturally. I know you know this. I like this in the Message translation. This is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. It says, "If you praise Him in the private language of tongues, God understands you, but no one else does. For you are sharing intimacies just between you and Him." How is that? You know, I thought about something. Somebody mentioned this at the meetings last week, but I thought about it again. You know, when you look at this verse, when it says, well, I'll share the thought here. This is the Weymouth translation. "For he who speaks in an unknown tongue is not speaking to men, but to God. For no one understands him, yet in the Spirit, he is speaking secret truths, mysteries, divine secrets." Let me ask this question. How many have a computer in here? How many know about all of the things, viruses and all of these kind of things where your computer can get hacked? Well, I'll tell you, the devil can't hack what I'm saying to God. Because it's secret truth. It can't be hacked. Huh? It's private. Can't get in. You don't know what I'm saying. It's encrypted. However else you want to say it. It's not touchable. Huh. So I can pray in tongues all I want. And it's encrypted. Just me and God. Talking in a divine language. Hallelujah. You got it. I know you got that. See, sometimes Jesus said things in the language they understood. Sometimes we need to say things in something. Oh, yeah, I got that. Yeah, okay, I got that. Uh-huh. How many have gotten hacked before? You didn't like it. See, I don't like getting hacked. Well, I'll tell you one thing. The devil can't hack this language. And the only way we have access, think about this. Anybody who's not a Christian doesn't have access. What's the password? The name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. That gets me access into the kingdom of God. That gives me access to God. That's your username and password. Most people know what I'm talking about. So you can say, because you can say, what's my username? Jesus. Because it's no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me. What's my password? The blood. So that gives me access into Him. And I get filled with the Holy Ghost. I can have divine secrets and mysteries going back and forth between God, and the devil doesn't have access. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Amplified, it says, for one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things. See, devil can't get to it. Not obvious to the understanding. So what did Paul mean when he uses the phrase in the Spirit? Does that mean something spooky? What does that mean? Well, if you go over to Ephesians, if you look at Ephesians chapter 6 and a familiar scripture verse, and you look at verse Ephesians chapter 6, and you look at verse 18, it's the same term. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. But look what he's saying here. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for what? For all saints. So, if he's talking about here in verse 14 and chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, when he says in the Spirit, he's talking about praying in other tongues. I'm sorry, verse 2, when he says, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. And he's saying this means speaking in other tongues. Well, then, the same thing is referenced here in Ephesians 6. When we pray in other tongues or in the Spirit, it says praying always with all prayer and supplication, what? In the Spirit, in tongues. And it says, and watching thereunto all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we can see here that not only are we able to build ourselves up, but we're able to pray for all saints in the Spirit. And think about this. This can't mean English, because how could you know all saints in your understanding? You couldn't. But in the Spirit, you can pray for all saints, because it's the Holy Ghost praying, well, it's your Spirit praying as He gives utterance. Does that make sense? Let's see. Now let's look at let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14, and let's look at verse 15. And we're going to look at just this here in verse 15. He says, let me back up in verse 14. It says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my what? My spirit prayeth." See, now let me just stop here for a second. Some people may say, when I pray in other tongues, it's the Holy Spirit praying. That isn't what the Bible said. What's praying? Your spirit is praying. And the Holy Spirit gives utterance. But this says here, see, because some people say, well, when I pray in the Spirit, it's the Holy Ghost praying. No, it's not. It's you praying. Given utterance by the Holy Spirit. So verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. See, he uses this term, with the Spirit or in the Spirit. Same thing in tongues, and I will pray with the understanding. Also, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So we need both. You need both. To just say, well, we're just going to pray all in English, you're limited. And if you just say, well, we're just going to pray everything in the Spirit, well, then you're missing it there too. In reading this book, Brother Hagin uses a good example. He said, "I'm going to use it." He said, "These two instances." He said, "I'm going to use it like a two-wheel bicycle." He said, "You won't get too far if you only use one wheel." He said, "You need both." He said, "You need to pray in English and you need to pray in other tongues." He said, "You need both wheels on the bicycle." So he made that, and I thought that was a good point. If you look at Romans 8:26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For what? We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." So in other words, the Holy Spirit will help us when we don't know how to pray as we ought. But it doesn't say we shouldn't pray in our understanding. There's some times we need to articulate to God what we want. Does it say you need to ask? And you need to ask Him in English. Or pour out your heart in English. But you're only going to go so far, and then you're going to need to continue to articulate that in other tongues. Because it said we pray mysteries. Do you realize this, that the more you pray in the Spirit, you build up yourself, but also this says here, we pray mysteries unto God, right? Howbeit in the Spirit, in verse 2 of chapter 14, it says, "Howbeit in the Spirit, He speaketh mysteries," or we can say in some of the other ones, the Weymouth, it says, "secret truths." The Moffat translation says, "divine secrets." So when we pray in the Spirit, we can actually be praying out our future. You can be praying out the divine secrets and mysteries that you're not aware of. You can be praying out things that unfold where you're concerned, your life, your ministry, whatever God has called for you, your family, your future. You're praying it out in the Spirit. And as we do that also, it says we're praying out for all saints. So we can be praying out assistance for another saint in the Lord. How many times you've gotten into trouble, you've gotten in a fix, and something happens and it turned out well, and you didn't pray for it? Well, somebody else did. Somebody else prayed in the Spirit. I'm going to tell you, I could list right now on these two hands that I should be D-E-A-D, dead. Before I came to Christ, after I came to Christ, after, dead. in situations where something happened where, you know, something happened and I should be dead. I remember when I went through this, let me get aside from that. How many have had somebody come up to you and say, I've been praying for you? You've been on my heart. I've been praying for you. I have. In a situation where I've told you this once, where I was having some symptoms in my body, and the Lord said, if you don't go to the doctor and get it checked, you'll be dead by the end of the year. And this was in July. And I'm going, let's see, July, August, September, October, November, December. That's 6 months. Really? And I still didn't go to the doctor. It took a couple of weeks. And I finally said to myself, wait a minute, that was the Holy Ghost. I better go. It wasn't that I was being obstinate, but I had received healing so many times in my body that I'm convinced I got this. But what started happening was there wasn't a change happening after a year, and it started getting worse. And my mind said, maybe I'm missing it somewhere. And so that's when, in a time of quietness, I heard the Holy Ghost say that. So it wasn't that I wasn't believing God, but there was something that I didn't know. Something I'm missing. I'm not making a connection here with something. And really, what it turned out to be, nutritional. That had gotten so bad that I got myself in this place. So if God had healed it, not that he couldn't have, I wouldn't have learned anything. I wouldn't have changed my habits, and I'd have still been going down the wrong road. So there are some things that God will do, is not to say that we all have to go to the doctor all the time. Work your faith. I like this. Somebody said this at camp meeting last week. This person said, your confession builds the road over which faith brings its mighty cargo. Your confession builds the road over which faith brings its mighty cargo. So it's not just believing. You can believe and you have to confess. So this person said, don't wait until you need to have a road built. Build the road of healing. Build the road of prosperity. And it will bring God's promises over that road to you. Don't wait until you I need to now build a road to bring the promises of God to me for healing. It can be too late. See, your confession has to build that road. What does that really mean? You've got to call in the promises of God. Or Brother Hagin used to say it, confession causes or brings faith realities. It's the same thing. Causes faith realities in your life. So what are we saying? That speaking in other tongues edifies us, builds us up. I believe that's in Jude. It says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. So we build ourselves up. And I'm going to say this also in closing, that we were talking about when I opened up, I said, information affects your soul. Revelation comes where? In your spirit. Well, I'm going to say this, the more that you pray in the Spirit, revelation will come. So it won't just be information, but the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit, He will reveal and unfold that information that you've received. How many have just been spent time praying in the Spirit And your spirit becomes what? More aware of God. There's a sensitivity to God. Your spirit becomes aware of God's presence more. And so as we pray more in the Spirit, we become filled. See, when you say, well, get filled with the Holy Ghost, somebody says, well, how do you do that? How do I drink? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, when Brother Hagin was alive, Mrs. Hagin, Lynette Hagin, would talk about this. Everybody referred to him as Dad Hagin, or you call him Brother Hagin. He didn't talk much. He said he would walk around the campus and he would just go and sit in his grandson's or somebody's office, and he'd just sit there, not say anything. And he'd sit there for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes, not say one word, and just sit there. How'd you like that? And he wouldn't say anything. And he'd just sit there, and he'd be praying in the Spirit under his breath, and he'd be watching you and just sitting there, and he'd get up and leave. And he said many, many have said, you know, have shared experiences where he'd call and say, you want to go to lunch? And they'd go to lunch. He wouldn't say anything. Not one word. And they'd have lunch and they'd say, okay, see ya. And that was it. See, he was a man of very few words. He didn't talk a lot. But he'd pray in the Spirit. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying that's what he did. But he prayed in the Spirit. And Mrs. Hagin would say that. He'd come in and sit in her office. And as he was sitting there, you could see him. He was praying under his breath in the Spirit all the time. And so for us, I think sometimes we get, you know, we say, well, I'm busy during the day. I can't pray in the Spirit. What? That's the time you ought to be praying in the Spirit, because let me read this. This is in verse 14. It says here, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, we read this before, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. This is the basic translation. It says, for if I make use of tongues in my prayers, my spirit makes the prayer. What? My spirit makes the prayer, but not my mind. My spirit makes the prayer, not my mind. So when we work during the day and we're using our mind, why not pray in the Spirit while you're working? Because as you're praying, ideas can flutter up from here into your mind. As you're working, you're praying in the Spirit, revelation can come. Ideas can come. I'll just give you some ideas. If you're not doing it, consider it. The Living Bible says, my spirit is praying, but I don't know what I'm saying. The 20th century, it says, my spirit prays, but my mind is barren. See, you can be thinking about something else, working, and praying in the Spirit. And your spirit is being edified and built up. Does that make sense? The authentic Bible says, my spirit is engaged in prayer, but my intellect is not functioning. My spirit is engaged in prayer, and I can be thinking about work, because it's not functioning on what I'm praying. My spirit is. See, right? Now you can't be talking and praying in the Spirit. That you can't do. that's not possible. But you can be thinking and praying in the Spirit, because your intellect is not functioning in the prayer process, right? The Barclay, it said, is my spirit which prays, my mind is producing nothing at all. So we need to pray more in the spirit. I tell you, when I go home, you know, I have opportunities to be busy and noisy at home, but it's just me personally. When I get up in the morning, I'm not making a lot of noise. I might be listening to something to feed my spirit, a teaching tape or something. But even if I am, I'm praying in the spirit while I'm listening to it. I'm building up my spirit as I do something else in the soulish realm. See, we can do a lot of activities in the soulical realm with our intellect, but we can be praying in the spirit at the same time. Building up ourselves on our most holy faith. Amen. Glory to God. Because this fire, this, you know, when we say building up ourselves, we're building up ourselves on our most holy faith, but God's presence is increasing. We're more aware, more sensitive. I tell you, some of the strongest things, I know one time in my life when I was very young, I was laying on my bed, I'm praying in the spirit. I had my hands right here on my spirit area. And I'm praying in the spirit for about half an hour, 45 minutes. And it began to stir and stir and stir to the place that I thought I was leaving my body. I got a little nervous. Brother Hagin talks about it. He said when he first started experiencing those things, he got scared because, you know, you say, well, I don't get scared. Well, you feel like you're leaving your body and you tell me what you think if you've never experienced it before. I tell you, it was the first time I experienced it and I just said, well, okay, what's going on? What's happening to me? And I literally felt like I was leaving out of my body. I had no sensation of or my surroundings. My body felt like I had been shot up with some drug. I just felt overwhelmed with God's presence. And immediately, I literally felt like I was leaving out, and immediately a voice filled my room. Now, that's how it sounded, like a voice filled my room. It was the Father. And I knew it was him because it was a very loud, authoritative voice. Now, of course, you know, you say it filled my room. It was really in my spirit, but it was that loud. And began as a very young man, told me what I would do 30 years ago. And I'm doing it. Right here, doing part of what he told me to do. But in the natural, it looked like, you got to be kidding me. And I never said anything. But you see, that, my whole point of saying that was that came not being busy watching television, texting, clicking, doing all these kind of goofy things. It was praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in prayer. See, that's when that came. And so our communication with God is going to be praying in the Spirit. And of course in English. But some of the most significant experiences I've experienced, and I'm sure you have too, is when we've been praying in the Spirit, in other tongues. Amen. That's enough for tonight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I would encourage you, if you're not praying, number one, if you're not praying in the Holy Ghost, then and you desire to, then make that known and we'll lay hands upon you and you shall receive. But you must be born again. And two, if you're not praying enough in the Spirit, you know, we can all get busy. Me too. We can all get busy and you look up and you say, boy, I got so engaged with things that I realized I haven't been praying in the Spirit during the day. And I can tell you what happens. When you use this intellect and you're engaged intellectually all day long, what happens? It wears you out. You get worn out. And you come cruising through the door. I'm whooped or whoopted, one or the other. Whoopted is probably more like it. Or whipped, I don't know what it is, but you're tired. But I can tell you, when you're working and praying in the Holy Ghost at the same time, your spirit is praying, even though you're using your intellect, this spirit is praying and you're being built up and edified. And so I find that what has happened to me is that if I've been working all day, using the intellect, getting engaged in things, talking, and not praying enough in the Spirit, I'm not being filled. And I know you can all say, amen. Is it not the truth? So we need to just do what? Make a little correction. That's all. Make a little correction. Pray more. Make a choice. I'm going to pray more in the Spirit. I'll pray more in other tongues. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had. Thank you for revelation and information. But thank you, Father, for stirring our hearts. We commit to pray more in the Holy Ghost. We commit to stir ourselves up in the Spirit. And we thank you, Father. Thank you for this gift that we have. Let us not overlook it. Let's not diminish it, but let's pray in the Spirit more than we've ever done before. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for living in us. Thank you for being our helper and our comforter. And we thank you for that. Father, we give you all of the praise now in Jesus' name. Amen.